Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most five-thumbed podcast network.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Why Am I Sad? I'm Joel.
I'm Zoe B.
I'm George.
And I'm Cass.
And we're fine.
Woo!
Hello, sunshine. Hello, blue skies. Hello, lovely day. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-da.
Food stuck in my teeth.
You got food stuck in your teeth.
It's real annoying.
Okay, yeah. Zoe's not fine.
She's not fine.
Oh, no, I dislodged it. We're all good.
All right.
Hey,
we're fine.
God, yeah. She does everything.
Mm. Oh, my God.
I need to book a dentist appointment. I have not gone in a while.
Yeah. 5 years, baby.
What? 5 years?
Huh? Five fuck off. What?
What?
Yeah.
For real?
What?
Yeah. I haven't gone just because we've been in lockdown. What?
I can't afford to go to a dentist.
What?
I can't afford to go to a dentist.
Dentists can be cheap.
I can't afford to go to a dentist. Dentists are not cheap.
I'll give you the
dentist.
There
are bulk billing ones?
I'll give you the number for my dentist who is literally free.
Oh, but is it free because you have private
dentist?
Health insurance?
Well, yes, we got like I got private.
Don't have dental.
Okay, because I got dental, but like she's like, all right, cool, we'll just. Whatever, I'm not doxing her. She's like, all right, how much do they give you back? And then we'll call it that. And so that's what we just do it. So it ends up being free.
No, it's not free. And then because I am on government assist, they're like, well, you can go to the public one.
Ah.
And the public one is a 7 to 8 year wait. I think it took 3 years to get my wisdom teeth out.
Ah.
It was 3 years on a waiting list to get my wisdom teeth out.
Ah.
Yeah, dental's fucked in Australia. Dental's fucked in Australia if you can't afford to get dental.
Oh, my God.
So I just don't go to the dentist.
Huh.
And then if there's an emergency. But see, here's the thing. Because I'm poor, can go to the dental hospital and deal with the emergency straight away.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which you guys don't have a dental emergency room. You have to go see a regular dentist and pay for it.
Oh, okay. Learning a lot about dentists right now.
Yeah, see, everyone was up on my case about the fact I couldn't go to a dentist. I know my dentist facts, and I know I can't afford one.
Okay. Well, then.
Damn,
so I'm sorry.
That's all right. I got whitening toothpaste with charcoal in it, so, like, they're healthy. Yeah. In all fairness,
same shit.
Everyone's like, I've never had a cavity. I've never needed a filling. I've never needed a tooth replace. The only time I've ever needed dental surgery was to get my wisdom teeth out. Never had braces. Solid as a rock, these chompers.
Huh. Do you brush and stuff regularly?
No.
You are asked. So wait, this is based on how long ago was the last dentist visit?
5 years.
Okay, that's just interesting.
Her teeth don't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon a lot of dentist stuff is genetics. Like I was meant to have dentist bookings and then, you know, lockdown put them off. But yeah, every time I go in, they're like, oh, these are good. I'm like, cheers.
All right.
That's not
money.
Sounds like,
it sounds I guess
like
have
you
it all.
Making one point
fucking
and just,
take it.
I think it's all genetic and yeah, I've got great teeth.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
genetically she has great teeth.
Okay.
I've been looking at like potentially getting like Invisalign or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I looked
straight.
Into that at the start of lockdown. Like,
there you go.
The start of our first lockdown, I was like, why not get Invisalign? I'm not going outside for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then lockdown got lockdown, so I couldn't even do that. So
yeah. Lockdown to lockdowner.
Yeah. Well, because I had braces when I was a teen, and I don't know. I'm just wondering how much it stuck because, like, I cared about my teeth?
No,
I'll
that's
give you
straight.
A good old smile.
Yeah, that's straight. Like, that's compared to mine, I didn't have mine. So, like,
Yeah.
I only found out I had a snaggle tooth when we started
you
doing...
You do have a snaggle tooth!
I have a snaggle tooth, and I only found that out when we started having to do Zoom meetings for everything, because I wasn't looking at you guys, I was looking at me. And I was like, what the fuck?
Fun fact, I'm never looking at anyone else.
We're all looking at ourselves. Yeah,
everyone looks at themselves.
Of course.
And I would be there looking at my little face in the webcam, and I'm like, oh, I have a snaggle tooth. And it's like the second one from my front tooth. Like, I should have noticed that.
Is it that one or is it
maybe
that,
it's new.
I can see it. But is it like that the snaggle tooth or is the fact that maybe your front tooth is going in a bit?
Sure, so what exactly so snaggle tooth is where it's like one's a bit in a different angle.
Snuggled.
Yeah.
Snuggled?
It's a bit snaggled.
Snaggled.
I'll show you. Unfortunately, there's a screen in between us, but I'll show you later, George.
Snaggle tooth is a great word.
Yeah.
It is a good word.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is good.
I think it's personality. Because you know how like gap teeth came in? Like in vogue as a fashion thing, I think snaggletooth will come in soon, and I'll be the most fashionable.
I don't think you'll be the most. A kid, one of my front teeth was like slightly. It wasn't snaggle like outwards, but it was on an angle, and my mum always really liked it, and she thought it gave me personality. And then I had a bung jaw, and they had to fix it. And then part of the fixing it, after they'd like reshaped my jaw and stuff, they had to put braces on me to make sure my teeth didn't go back. And then my mum was crushed. She's like, her little tooth, and it's still a bit crooked. But only I notice it now. And I like
you
it.
And your genetically
but I was going to get Invisalign
teeth,
because my back, one side of my back teeth don't touch.
The teeth themselves don't touch?
Yeah, so like the back half of one of my mouth sides.
Oh, really?
Huh?
Weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, apparently as you get older, your teeth all slowly
start falling out.
Start like pushing forward in your face. Start pushing towards the front. So that's why as you get older, your teeth will
naturally... achieve the perfect form of dog.
Yeah. So that's why it's like as you get older, it's actually kind of, I'm looking at it. I'm still thinking about it.
Well, I always love the idea of getting like veneers, but the process just makes me sick.
It's so gross.
Like I cannot, like, but also apparently you have to, if you get veneers, you have to redo it every like 10 years or something.
It's like any plastic surgery, you have to get your tits redone every 7 years, to 10 years. Yeah. If you get your titties done, they have to put new implants in because the implants only last for so long.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Did not know that. Huh. Mm. Oh, wow.
Like it's not going to explode like on the day. It's not like milk that's going to go bad, but more likely than not, like the higher chance of rupturing.
Yeah, right. Fuck. I am glad I don't need like my titties done because like I would just forget. I'm a lazy man. Mm. I'm very like, it'll be fine and I'll just leave it going for so long.
Yeah, I can't get an implant on for that reason. I don't know what time it is.
Yeah. Oh,
no, I looked into getting my titties done a couple years ago because whilst I don't need volume.
Mm.
No, everyone stop. Like, you don't have to keep praising me.
No.
Zoe.
Thank you.
Zoe,
thank you.
As your boss, I'm going to say you got great titties. Thank That's you. Good, yeah?
I felt uncomfortable with this.
As your co-worker, brilliant titties, Zoe.
Thank you.
And as
your
friend.
As a man.
Yum. Yum. No, so my titties, I got really into watching Botched for a really long time, and I was like, what if I fix... my problems.
Uh-huh.
And I
is that the lesson you learned from Botched?
Yes. 100%. Was that not the message I was meant to take?
look, you took a message. And
I took
that's
a message.
Pretty impressive.
I'm like, hey, she's learning. Mm. But I have what are medically known as tubular breasts, so I got long titties.
Yep.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, because my tits were long when I was like 16. Mm. It's like, oh,
girls got length.
Yeah. You know, they're long and
tits for days.
In the wind.
Mm, I want them long titties.
Hard day at work titties.
Like cow tits.
Yeah.
And so I did some looking into getting a breast lift.
Yep.
Because I was like, that seems less invasive than getting implants. And then the research I did was like, you're better off just getting implants because the problem I have is I just don't have anything filling out the bit that's closest to my body.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, just put implants under your already E-cup titties, and you'll have perfectly pert titties.
E-cup titties.
And I, well, they won't be. They'll be like G or F, like FG fucking H-cups if I upgrade. And I was like, no.
That seems like a
that's
back
too much
seems
titties.
Like, it does seem like a back pain thing.
Yeah. That seems like one of those ladies who ends up on Botched who has like basketballs as titties. And she's like, I want them bigger.
So you did learn the right lesson.
Like supermodel.
Okay, so yeah, it looks like you unconsciously learned a lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah, the long way around, but I got there.
Yeah.
Hey, funny enough, my mate, he was quite overweight, and because he had a lot of issues with it in his head and he tried a lot of different weight loss stuff and couldn't get anywhere, he ended up going for a very extreme option. So I'm not going to promote it to anyone else, but like getting your, what is it, where you cut out your stomach.
Oh, the gastric bypass.
Gastric bypass. Yeah, yeah. So he got that.
If you are going to go that route, go a gastric band because it is reversible.
Yeah. So, but his logic was because of the finickiness of it, he's like, he's the kind of guy who goes all in on stuff. So he's like, no, I'm just going to do it. So he just.
Literally 100 or zero. That's
it. That's what he does, actually. Okay, so okay. He just cut it out. And because he was very overweight, he lost the weight, but he had like. Long titties?
Yeah.
Like the very skin. Long.
Skin. You lose it so fast, your body doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. So he ended up getting that surgery to chop them off and get them shortened down to be a regular size. So I just realized, I don't know if that story has anything to do with anything.
Yeah, I remember watching a video of a guy who was like, very, very big boy. And then he lost a lot of weight, got into bodybuilding and weight loss in terms of like weightlifting. And yeah, he was like, I very rarely like to do any photos where I'm like shirtless or topless because like, sure, I look quite nice now. And he's like flexes and he's like, he's got arm muscles are bulging. And he's like, look at this handsome boy.
Ripped.
But he's like, but if you look here and he kind of just grabs like a bit of skin and pulls it. And then he's like, and now, and he takes off his top. And it's like, it's all very loose and hanging down and that kind of stuff. And he's just like, I'm just trying to, like, I'm healthier now, I'm happier now. And unfortunately, like, this is what the result is. But, you know, I think, you know, from their perspective was like, well, let's try and destigmatize it. And like, this is a side effect that not many people talk about.
Yeah, and the only way to deal with that side effect is surgery, which a lot of people don't necessarily want to do.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's kind of like, you know.
I mean, cut me open, but like.
Exactly.
Not for an evening.
No, I'm bored.
Just for some fun, you know? Whatever. I want to see what's in there.
I am very open to the fact that the only way I probably will become thin is if I like do lipo and a tummy tuck and stuff like that, because the idea of having to do it myself.
Yeah.
No.
I remember there was a special, one of those British television specials where it's like a bit documentary, you know, like My Mum's Hotter Than Me and stuff. But there was one about surgery.
I didn't know that existed.
My Mum's Hotter Than Me? What hot trash is this that I want to watch?
My Mum's Hotter Than Me.
Tell me the premise, or is it the title?
It's the title. It is following around mums who are like, I'm sexy. And then the kids are like, I wish my mum wouldn't be so sexy. The boys at school say they want to shag my mum. And the mum's like, I kind of like it.
Fuck that rules.
Okay. Yeah, you've got, I'll hook you up.
There Thanks, babe.
Wonderful, Thanks. Wonderful variety of television show. But I saw one that I think it's from the people who are on Botch or Embarrassing Bodies, and they talk about surgery culture in the UK specifically. They had a whole thing where they just had like a surgery bus set up and you could go in, have a consult with someone and walk out having booked a surgery. And it was all fake. And when they walked out, they interviewed the people and they were like, so you just agreed to undergo a surgery. Do you know the risks and stuff? They're like, no. They're like, okay, so do you know the doctor who's doing the surgery? They're like, no. And they realized that because surgery is so sought after and common a lot of the times, and there were, you know, they have that travel surgery culture as well, where you can go to a country where the surgery is a lot cheaper, but then they don't do aftercare, and then they come back to the UK and they can get very sick. Anyway, really interesting. If I could remember what it was called, I would recommend it. But they had a whole section in there where, oh my God, brutal as hell. So there were all these teenage kids, and they brought people in, like adults. They brought adults in, and they got the teenage kids to draw on the adult's body on how to fix them.
What?
So
it'd be
like,
so
they were like,
that's
fucked. It was fucked, but they were interviewing the kids and they were like, would you ever get surgery? And like most of them were like, oh yeah, I'm thinking like if I got my boobs done when I'm older, or like I'd love liposuction, all this different stuff. And the kids physically drawn these bodies, and these people who they brought in were like healthy. There was nothing wrong with them. They weren't sort of like, they didn't look like Instagram models or anything. They were just normal people. These people ended up with lines and dashes all over them. The kids would be like, oh, I'd do a tummy tuck, I'd do this. So, like, the self-esteem of the people who agreed to that, good on them.
Astronomical.
That
either through the roof or, like, down near the ground.
I deserve
this. Yeah, there's just, oh, my God. I couldn't imagine. But at the end of it, they did this whole thing where they looked at all the surgeries that they wanted these people to have to look beautiful or like nicer. And I think the surgeries had, you know, some ridiculously expensive total. I can't remember the total, but they were like, it would take, with the surgery recovery time and aftercare, it would take 12 months before they looked like how they should. And they were like, so can you think of a better way to spend 12 months? And the kids were all like, oh. And it made me, and this is, I guess, thing Zoe's thing. It's like, oh, okay, it's not a quick fix. It's a long fix. And I would need to be committed for 12 months.
It's a long fix.
No, no, you've taken, you know, wrong message. No, 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 no.
It's a long fix with weirdly instant gratification, because Louis Theroux did his plastic surgery doco, and he goes and gets lipo.
Yeah,
in
I was about to, like, yeah, bring that, because that was a very, very, very fascinating doco.
Yeah, and he says he's like, the instant gratification of it is weirdly really strong and really pleasant. So, like, we've all been shopping and had that little rush of endorphins when we get a new outfit. Instant gratification, as we have all experienced with lockdown, shopping is not as fun online.
That's true.
No,
because the instant gratification of having a thing.
Yeah.
And
like,
so,
I buy this.
Yeah.
Now I've got to wait a couple of days.
Yeah. And so, like, that instant gratification. So you can imagine, like when you're losing weight and working out and getting healthier and however, you know, you, whatever you are doing to your body, when it is hard work and it is, like, the effort, it's slowly, slowly, slowly. And then eventually, after a couple months or however, you're like, oh, it's been happening in such tiny increments that you don't notice till, like, a big change has happened. Mm. Where, like, from this documentary at least, they were like, oh, it is instant and it's quite nice.
Yeah.
It's quite mentally quite nice, and you can see why it can become addictive. And while it is a long recovery process, you get that instant gratification of having it done straight away.
That's true. I mean, I guess it's one of those things where you're like, okay, as soon as it gets done, you're like, I have the end point. Now all I have to do is wait.
Yeah.
But it's done. Like, you don't actually have to do anything else. You just have to take care of yourself. Whereas going
But I've proven that I can't take care of myself, Cass. That's the problem.
That's a part which, like, is in, unless, that's why I think, like, the actual cutting out this, like, the gastric bypass of the band or something, which actually stops you eating. Because I can't imagine if you just tuck it, you want to just be back in, like, another year or 2 years or something? No, that's not how it works. I don't know.
So with the gastric bypass, they cut out a section of the stomach so you can physically only eat so much. Your stomach can only hold so much. And then with the band, it's the same concept, but instead of physically removing some of the stomach, they're tightening part of it so it can't expand as much as it usually does.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm saying those ones make more sense than if you just got the fat out, isn't it? You're just going to have it just happen again.
All the people I know who've had liposuction and then gained weight back, it grows wrong because you've removed the fat and the fat doesn't live there anymore.
Okay, so yeah, what's that?
Yeah, what I've heard about sort of the way that fat works within the body, and I don't know dick about shit, so I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, let's put a very big disclaimer that we don't know dick about shit right 100%. Now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this is
we're flying blind.
But
don't
I've watched
to us.
Airplane and reckon I can do this though.
We have high confidence, low self esteem, but high confidence.
Oh my god, through the roof and through the floor, confusing everyone. Again, don't know dick about shit, but. My understanding of the way fat works is your fat cells develop in your body as you are a child, and then eventually you will only have X amount of fat cells, and the fat cells themselves grow and shrink as you gain and lose weight, which is why, as an example, Audrey Hepburn is was exceptionally thin, and it was because when she was younger, she was in the war, and she was, like, she went through starvation periods as a child, so her fat cells didn't develop so much, and it's why people were getting so concerned about childhood obesity, because if you develop more fat cells than another person, then you will have more fat cells than another person your whole life. And so if you have the same size fat cells as another person, but they have fewer fat cells than you have, then you will be bigger than that person, which, look, because of that... I think that is just a further indication about how the size or surplus or like the amount of fat cells you have don't really determine how healthy you are later in life, if that makes sense. I just feel like that's another point to that argument to say that.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was like a health class. And look, as a little fat teen that I was.
You were a fat teenager.
I was a fat teenager. But yeah, hearing this was very depressing for my fat teen self. And now I'm remembering it for fat me now. So yeah, yeah.
You're not fat now.
I got some titties.
No, you, but you're not fat. I think there's a difference, like. Like Cass and I talk about this a lot with self-worth and self-confidence is like everyone's hypercritical of themselves because that is the you that you see constantly.
Yeah.
And you can be hypercritical of it. Because I would never look at Zaman and be like, that is a fat person.
Oh, I look at me all the time and go, look at that fat shit.
Yeah.
So, it'd be kind of mean.
Yeah. Well, no, like there's a difference because I'm fat and I'm not ashamed about the fact that I'm fat. And I don't think fat should be used with a negative connotation. It's a descriptor. It's not anything other than that. So I wouldn't use the descriptor for Zamet to be like, Zamet's fat. But if you were trying to like be like, oh, who's Zoe? You'd be like, oh, she's the loud fat girl. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know that her. I know that her.
I know that her.
Over fat, but, yes.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's a descriptor. Yeah, right. And I'm not ashamed about the fact that I'm fat. And I don't think it is a negative thing to talk about fat. But I think when, like, we are inherently ourselves. So when you look at yourself, you see all the negative things. And so with you, when Zamet says, like, I'm fat, and he's like, oh, I've got this and that and, you know, things I don't like about myself, that actually inherently doesn't make you fat.
Okay.
You know, because you're a very average-sized person.
Fair. You know, I'll cop that.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, I think,
like, there are bits of your body that are chunky.
Yes.
Stocky, maybe. Yeah. Is the more.
I like husky.
Husky. Well, the sort of society that we're being raised in at the moment, you know, we're not part of the Renaissance. Like, we have been told that fat is more something to have as a negative connotation than a positive one, which means it's something we are going to look for in ourselves. And this is as someone who has grown, and I was young when, like, small bums were popular, but I remember when big bums came in, and I remember going from thinking that, like, not sort of thinking so much about my bum and then having someone say that I had, like, a nice round bum, be like, thank you, and now I'm being like, God, it's so small. I haven't changed. It is perceptions, and it's you always tend to look for the negative things about yourself, which literally a habit. You just, like, make yourself try and find something nice, because if, like, oh, you're so good at finding negative things about yourself, it's literally the same thing. Fucking do it.
You got to turn that
go,
negative.
You stupid. Like,
you got to turn that negative into a positive. No. Instead of being like, I got big titties, you're like, I got an amazing rack.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I got a small bum. Oh, look who can fit into small spaces.
What a turnaround.
That's fantastic. We can see one of these skills is much less developed than the other.
No.
I'm in air vents.
I'm a piece of trash that needs to be spat on. I understand this concept. I need to beat myself up more.
Wait, we're making it horny? Yeah.
Yes. But no, I remember hearing that as a teen, and because I was a big boy, and, like, you know, it was quite, I guess, like, teenage depression, as you always do, and a lot of it was linked to weight. And I think it still kind of happens to me quite a lot.
Well, I think you will always see yourself as the fat kid.
Yeah, 100%. I remember hearing that kind of thing where it was like, oh, you know, the fat cells that you have now as a teen, and I'm like, great, now this fucking rules, doesn't it?
It's just going to get worse.
Ah, good. So I don't know.
I could be wrong.
No.
Look, I think,
no, I'll take it as word. Look, I'll be sad.
I don't know, how that matches up with things, but based on the whole insulin resistance thing, which I understand is very relevant, this could be offside there, just because it's more current than that's what I'm saying. But the whole idea that, you know, if you increase someone's insulin resistance, they're going to be fat no matter what. And it doesn't matter what you eat. If you just inject them with that, they'll be fat. Doesn't matter. What they've been when they were young, what they've been, whatever, you can just
do that. So there's a skinny injection, George is saying.
So there is.
You put an injection levels, for skinny.
If you put some insulin.
Yeah. Insulat.
Sometimes you're like, these people, they know what they're talking about. And there are other times you're like, yeah, they don't know shit about fuck. And this, I feel, is definitely the latter.
Yeah, shit about fuck. None of it.
Yeah. No, that's it. I'm just saying that it's a you might not be completely screwed if you've got extra fats, because that just does sound like, oh, you're screwed no matter what. It's like, I don't know if that's 100% true. Well, that's all I'm saying.
It doesn't mean, because fat cells,
except for a made-up, exactly.
Fat cells change throughout your life, that they expand, and they grow and they shrink, and that is what weight gain and weight loss is. It just, if some people, if you've had less in your earlier life, it means that's going to be easier for you because you've got a starter off to be thinner. And if you like have is more,
it, but even it, like no, it's like if you were malnourished as a child, you have a benefit as an adult.
Yeah,
it's, no, not benefit.
How could
go putting that title in there?
That's true.
Well, no, because well, there is a societal benefit.
Yeah, could be weak and flimsy.
Yeah, screwing boy.
Zoe's right. We still have that bias in our society that sort of appreciates a thinner form, which is, you know, literally trend. It's literally just a trend.
It's really odd, and it's as a however you want to describe it, as a fat person, which is how I do it. Some people like to say plus size or whatever.
I like makes, fat bitch, but fat that's bitch, for me.
Chunky boy. as a big person, the only problem I have with my weight is how people treat me because of it.
Yeah, right.
I have no issue with how I look or how I perceive my body. I don't look at my body and go like, gross, fat, gross. I think I'm really pretty.
Well,
yeah. I'm really hot. Well, yes. I think I've got nice bits.
Yes.
And all my, like, and I don't look at my stomach, which is big, and be like, gross. I'm like, that's a good, sexy tum.
Yeah.
But
it's great.
It's
good.
Yeah. It's not toned or anything, but I think, like, I have lots of self-confidence for whatever fucking reason. And I don't look at my body in a negative light. I also am a big believer in body neutrality as well, where you just, this is my meat suit that carries around my good brain. But I do have an issue with the way people treat me because I am overweight. That is the only issue I have with the fact that I am overweight.
Yeah, right.
Is that how people assume I want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
People, I don't know how many people in my life I have lost count in the amount of time someone in my life has started a diet and asked me to join them because they need a fat friend support system.
Oh,
like it's coming from a nice place, I guess.
It isn't.
No, it's
well,
not.
The fact that they're assuming it without you having said anything.
Yeah, it's not. It's rich. Not coming. My mum does it. My mum does it a lot. My mum buys clothes that are too small for me, and be like, "Oh, I thought that was your size," and I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm not necessarily proud, but I am indifferent to the fact that I am a size 8 Australian 18." Mm. And my mum will buy like a 12, and she's like, "That well, you'll fit you one day," and I'm like, "No, it won't. I'm not planning on losing this weight."
Well, I feel like, again, because, like, I knew you when you were quite, I guess, svelte. I guess I knew us when we were both quite svelte.
Oh, we were so thin.
God,
we were so thin.
So thin and beautiful.
We were so tiny.
But, like, again, it was like...
Oh, no, I was very depressed.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. Anytime I have spoken to someone and reflecting about the time in their life when they were quite thin, it's never the happy time.
Yes.
It's never... Yes. The happy I'd, time. Please continue. Just something to reflect on.
Stopped eating and was drinking a bottle of vodka a day.
Yeah, I was feel a bit malnourished. But like with
just
yourself,
though,
like, like a lot of it is to do with like medication as well.
Yeah. I'm also not healthy. Like I never want to be like I'm on like no. Let's call a spade a spade. I'm on like three types of medication where the side effect is weight gain.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was inherently going to be part of it. Mm. But at the same time, I don't eat well. I don't take care of myself. Like, I could very easily not be the size. Like, I would still be inherently be overweight because of the pills. But I don't take care of myself.
That's fair.
And so, like, I think it can, for at least myself, be a cop-out to be like, I'm on meds that cause me to gain weight. I am on meds that cause me to gain weight.
So I guess that's where, like, I'm not trying to, like, I want to approach this very politely, I guess. But, like... Is it bad to then be like, well, like, and not judging or anything, but being like, well, isn't it possible that it's okay to have the goal of at least being healthy, I guess? Like, as in.
Yeah, I think that's so, the argument.
Different
the
goal.
Argument.
That's a
but yeah, no, yeah, I'm not, but that's what I'm saying, but that's the part which I think.
Exactly. And but I think.
But you can see how those get intertwined. So then everyone's like, oh, I've got to be proud of my body. It's like, and proud of not being healthy. But it's like, no, you got to, like, and that's what that differentiation, it seems like they are intertwined, and maybe it's for society or whatever,
is,
but even with you here saying this,
it's
like.
It's super intertwined, and I'm not saying that I'm disregarding that, but I'm saying that if you wanted to talk to me about health, me personally, if you were like, man, I wish Zoe was healthier, maybe instead of before we hit in the weight stuff, we were like, hey, what if you stopped smoking a pack of cigarettes a day?
Yeah.
What if you stopped doing all these other things, which are inherently way more unhealthy than being overweight, but for some reason the weight is the first thing. And also whenever I bring up the fact that I am depressed, people are like, is it because of your weight?
Oh my
and
God.
I'm like, what no. Are
they, who's putting forward reasons when someone says that?
It's super, it's super risky. So like you'll be like, I'm depressed. And they're like, oh, well, I heard exercise helped. And I'm like, oh, it didn't really help me. And they're like, oh, but if you just ran a little bit and you just like get those endorphins, and you know, then you'd lose weight as well. And I'm like,
drink water and lose them. And I'm like, this is weight.
And I'm like, I'm not only on medication. One of the medications I'm on causes weight retention, which I thought was really fun because I like, they told me, they were like, hey, you've got to take this medicine. And I was like, of course I have to live.
Yes.
And they were like, it's going to cause weight retention if you'd like to lose a bit of weight before you go on it, because you're not going to be able to lose weight while you're on it. And I was like,
dang.
Nah. Nah, no problem.
Okay.
It's fine. I lost weight this year during lockdown. I lost like 5 to 10 kilos because I was eating healthier. So inherently, like, I don't have to be the size that I am now. But also, like, I know what kind of person I am, and I'm probably not going to exercise and diet.
Look,
and,
that's fair.
Yeah, I'm very fine with that.
We all have got – I remember reading something. It was all about, like, again, this whole idea of weight loss. I guess this tends to be like a bit of a weight loss.
Yeah.
Like weight loss. And it's like a lot of people that either go on diets or really try and dramatically change their life. The only people that really kind of like keep off the weight are people that like completely and utterly change the way they live to the point where it's like too extreme. Because it's kind of like if you're on a very strict diet, you tend not to say go out with people or eat with other people. Or you're like, don't worry, I've got my own thing that I'm eating and you guys eat what you want to eat. And that's not fun.
Yeah.
And there is this kind of like a big longitude study where it's just kind of like of a lot of different people. It's just unfortunately the majority we don't you know keep the weight off as it were.
So that's where like again I think we're constantly updating with the science of this, and it gets better and better every year. So like this, even these studies are done from stuff 10 years ago when people thought calories mattered, when they just don't.
It's like, just to the great way to that know that think, maybe globally we don't know shit about fuck. You know,
but it's improving all the time. So I'm saying is there might be ways where, because I definitely agree that you have to change your attitude and lifestyle.
Isn't it all just caloric intake and outtake?
No. Because your body, because that's the whole thing, that's what's so crazy that we've had for 30 years where people are like, oh, if you can't keep the weight off, it's a willpower thing. It's like, no, it's not.
No.
If you don't eat calories, your body will be starving and be like, you have to eat something and you'll be tired and less, you'll have no energy. So like, as in you can't win that fight unless you're one of that 1% crazy
group. Well,
again,
it's that kind of like when I was doing my post-grad and it was a lot of it was to do about, weirdly, I decided to study about sleep deprivation. It was all about like education.
Was this your post-grad in Chinese medicine?
Yeah.
In education, thank you very much. But no, it was looking at like starting like times. And it's like, why do we start the school time in Australia at least, like 9 a.m. till 3:30? And it's just kind of like, why aren't we like later? What are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. And there's like a lot of stuff done where it's just like, yeah, we just seem to be putting our own sleep deprivation and our own poor sleep strategies onto our kids because like we did it so they can cop it, I guess.
Yeah.
And like lack of sleep is just like such a big fuck you to your body. It's just like you go into sleep debt, you can't really ever get out of it. And it just like, it increases like, you know, cancer risk, it increases weight gain, it increases like so much like problems. And so it's just this kind of thing where like, yeah, I guess we don't really know shit about fuck.
Yeah, I'm so obsessed with that right now. I've got this ring which measures your sleep every
I want one of them for my birthday. Ring.
It's really good.
In but, a couple of days, just letting you all know.
Really? Okay. Well, it's great, and it makes you. But I'm obsessed with sleep as well at the moment. And talking about the weight loss thing, it's really interesting. He was talking about if you're trying to diet and you don't get enough sleep, you won't lose good weight. Like the weight you'll lose is from your muscle, not from your fat.
So if
you're not sleeping, you're screwed already. Like as in, if you're not getting enough sleep, like a solid 8 hours. You just shouldn't, like, you can't diet properly. Like, well, that's actually what it's basically saying, which is.
Yeah. Well, you know again, how you crack the code?
One
George.
Thing I've heard. So, so this isn't official. But this is what I'd read.
Yeah, again, we don't know shit about fuck.
Speaking of cracking the code, I got quite sick the other day when I was with you, Zermatt,
and
spent the whole day shivering because I had to be cold to feel like I wasn't going to vomit.
Yes.
And then I got home and immediately passed out for 12 hours. And I was like, maybe George has something here.
Hey, maybe. Well, again, speaking of, again, George cracking
he's
that code.
Cracking it's the just, code.
So again, I woke up and like, you know, I've been doing this now. Okay, if I wake up like early, like I have a big problem because my brain is just like always kind of constant. And so if I wake up early and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm awake now. And then I find it really hard to go back to sleep. And this could be like anywhere between like, say, 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever. And I'm like, ah, I don't have to get up. I really wanted more sleep. So now if I wake up early, I just go and I'm like, oh, I pop a little magnesium tablet.
Oh.
And I go back to sleep, no problems. I don't know, A, if, again, it's working, or B, I've just placeboed myself hard.
No, you've reset.
Where did you get that from?
I got it from my good friend George.
I know the
it
answer.
It works, right? It does.
Working. I know the answer. I know yes. the answer. I yes. did it in therapy.
Yes.
It's because you're getting out of bed and you're doing something different for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You just got to reset yourself. You've just got to reset yourself.
And I think
if you can't fall asleep, this is a really good trick. If you can't fall asleep, get up and do something. Instead of lying in bed trying to like will it to happen, get up and do something for 20 minutes and then try and go back to sleep. Like reset yourself.
Yeah.
I half remembered that the other day, except I cooked it. I cooked it.
She went further in bed. She crawled under the mattress.
No, I was in bed and I couldn't sleep and it had been like an hour or so, it had been some time and I was like, I can't sleep. And I was like, oh, hang on. What I need to do is get up and do something because if I'm going to keep trying to fall asleep, it's not going to work. And then, but then what I did was I texted Adam, friend of the show, and said, do you want to get McDonald's? And then we tried to guess what time it was and we thought it was around 3 and it was 4. So, like, probably.
Somehow there's a big difference between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m.
Yeah.
There's a really big difference.
It's a big difference of like getting up and doing something different for 5 minutes and getting
and going
up
and going to
the
mattress.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I know I meant to get up. You cooked it.
You cooked that.
And I cooked it. Yeah. So thank you for confirming that because I know I stopped myself doing the bad thing. Okay. Yes, I did slip into something worse, but I remembered that much. You know, I'm like, no, get up.
That's all that matters, as long as you're half remembering what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
No, this is 50% is a par.
Yeah.
But no, because I've been obsessed with this. I've been doing a lot of it with my 3 a.m. wake-ups, and definitely the going to another room and reading a book, that's what I would usually do for like 20 minutes. But even that sometimes doesn't hit, so it's like that magnesium, that's the one that it just locks it in.
Why not do both?
It's good.
That's what I'll do. So now it's like the 20-minute break and then go do that to try to like really make sure.
Oh, and a weird thing is that I learned because I spoke about this with my therapist. I was like, I keep waking up at 6 a.m. after going to bed at 3 a.m. And then I'll just lay in bed for 3 hours and then I'll eventually fall asleep at 9 a.m. But then I'm waking up at 3 in the afternoon and this has been happening for about 2 weeks now and I'd like to not be like this.
That's fair.
And she was like, well, what do you do when you wake up at 6 a.m.? I'm like, well, I lie there. Like, I might get up to pee if I need to pee. Mm. And then eventually I get bored and I get up and have a smoke. And she's like, don't have a smoke. And I'm like, but I'm bored. And she's like, it's a stimulant. Don't fucking do it. And I was like,
yeah, but I'm
bored.
But
I'm bored. Yeah. So what am I going to do at 6 in the morning? So what I ended up doing now is the reason I'd been waking up is because my room is north facing. Or east facing or whatever.
Is this a fucking temperature thing?
No, it's not a temperature.
No, it's the sunlight, isn't it?
It's the sunlight.
You get fucked by the sun. Old buddy sun takes off his glasses and fucks our girl.
So I guess my room would be east facing. We're all dogging it. At 6 a.m. it's inherently bright in my room. And in the rental house that I live in, my room is also painted yellow so that
real bright.
It's real bright. And so I got a sleep mask.
Now I just
sleep with that on and then
fixed
I can
everything?
Sleep through the night. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty nice.
That's a simple solution to stuff. Yeah. I love it.
Shut up, George.
But I went and you know what I did before I figured that out, George? Therapy. Yeah.
Could have saved yourself a lot of time.
Oh, no. I need to check in with my therapist so she knows I'm still alive. Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, no, that's I'm glad to hear. That's very magnesium does. It seems to work. I don't know. Because it is meant to be a natural relaxant anyway. So I don't know if it just resets things. But for some reason, it just, works a treat. Something I've just found out. Apparently, everyone has their own chronotype, it's called. Where like
no, George, I have Crohn's disease.
That's your own Crohn's disease. We don't all have our own Crohn's disease.
Oh, that's disappointing. How dirty are your colons?
Possibly the appropriate amount, I assume.
Great question. Fuck, I've never thought how dirty
genuinely,
my
genuinely, Zoe will have the cleanest colon of all of us.
Yeah.
I assume so. Oh, wait, no. Why? Why?
Because it's always going out.
Yeah, because yeah. I poop like 4 or 5 times a day.
Oh, that'd be smooth ass.
It's bloody.
It's like a river. Oh, dear.
Oh, that's not good.
That's fine. That's it's good as it's going to get. So.
Okay. Smooth.
Just
smooth. Smooth. Like well, worn down sandpaper.
So some of us have our worn down sandpaper.
Yep.
But everyone has a chronotype, which means like, which is the definition of like this whole idea of a morning person or a night owl, whatever, that actually mm-hmm. is a thing. So it's mm-hmm. like some people just, if you go to bed at these times, your sleep cycle will be that no matter what. So like you'll get your REM sleep or whatever. That happens between 3 and 5 for some people. Other people, it's like 5 to 7. It's all, but it varies from person to person, which I was like, oh, I always just assumed morning people are like,
the best.
Just annoying, like proactive people, which we all get. But like, I assume everyone is a morning person if you go to bed early
that's
enough.
Insane,
but
it turns out, no.
Yeah, no, it turns out time, it's kind of real in terms of the sun going up and going down.
In relation to the sun.
Yeah.
It is.
The sun's your cycle.
Cast.
Wait, where are we going?
Cast.
Oh, no, wait, I forgot what this is about.
Cast.
No.
This isn't a money is a construct thing. This is, we can see it.
Now, Tom, the concept of a 4 p.m. is, yes, a construct.
Yes.
Putting but that number on it. Mr. Sun, in relation to putting the sun. His shades back on and kicking it sweet.
That's nighttime, baby.
For 12 hours.
Okay, really? Because, I always kind of imagined like you, Joyce. I was always like, yes, everything is geared towards, like, we're all meant to be morning people. I always sleep so cheerful, happy. And whenever I've gotten to the point where I have become a morning person through, like, jet lag and, like, that kind of thing. I'm like, this is what the other half must live like.
It's so good.
This is what the beautiful people are.
I'm like you, Zabit, where I will become a morning person because something's gone wrong. Like jet lag. And I'm like, wow, this is what it's like. And I like, well, I'll hold on to it for as long as I can. I genuinely like 10 p.m. I'm like, let's fucking go. Lockdown was rough for me because of the
boredom.
Because of the curfew. It was like, you have to be inside by 8. I'm like, but that's my morning.
Yeah.
But that's when I shine the best. That's when
I'm 10 p.m. hits and I'm like, get me outside. Put me in the dark.
I need to moon tan.
Yeah. I'm with Cass on this. I was having a shower. My roommate has pointed out that I shower after midnight, like the opposite of a Mogwai. Mm-hmm. And I was showering last night and it was super fucking gross and windy this week. And as soon as I shut the shower door, which is across the hall from my roommate's bedroom, the power went out and he was like, you're very lucky.
Well, that would have sucked to be.
Because it just would have been 2 a.m., me standing there in the dark and the wet being like, oh, no. Everyone's asleep.
Can somebody come help?
Yeah, because you can't even holler for help to be like, can someone come get me? Because everyone's asleep and you're a dick for waking them up.
Yeah.
Shower sleep.
I would have just had to sleep there. Turn the bath on.
Wrap yourself in the towels.
Laughing.
Give yourself to the porcelain gods.
Yeah.
Like, no, come on. Sleeping in a bath is great. I haven't done that since I was a drunk teen. But good time, nevertheless.
Love a good bath, pass out.
But yeah, no, so that's a... So yes, maybe you're just a night person and your body's designed like that. I don't know. It could just be, you know, poor living habits, but just saying it could be that as well. So that's a fun fact.
I was going to say, how do you know which one you are? But I guess the one you're currently living?
Yeah. Well, not really, because like, everyone just, because we've got, again, it's just like the kids getting forced into, that's the comments on that as well. The fact that it's proven in a million studies that if school starts at like 9:30, the kids are just better in every single way. Like
truancy
they learn
goes
more
down
every day.
And yeah, truancy goes down. Up.
Yeah, that's all it takes. It's another extra half hour. Actually, this best stat ever, actually. Yeah. Apparently, every daylight savings, the day after daylight savings where you lose an hour, heart attacks go up by 25%.
I think it's like we have a friend who like studies sleep and she's and like her mentor is like a very big advocate for like fuck daylight savings.
It's bad for your brain. Fuck the
so
farmers.
Bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
I guess it's farmers.
It's farmers don't want daylight savings.
Yeah.
It's the rest of us that do it because we're city folk that want the sun to go up later so we can stay out late at night. Farmers want it early.
You just can do that, though. That's not a crime. Where they're like, oh, but we'll lose an hour of sun. It's like,
time's
it'll still be there.
About?
Wait.
Yeah.
But you can't. But if you finish work at 5 and you leave your house by the time, you know, the sun's going to be gone.
No,
that's
whatever we are now, summer time is the best one.
Mm-hmm.
So the farmers want winter all the time.
They want what it actually is, which is...
I think we just got to pick one and stick with it.
This one.
Sure. Well, but here's the thing, though.
No, this is daylight savings.
Yeah, let's pick that one.
Yeah.
Okay, but that, I guess, yeah.
It's time the better is one. One
yeah. Time is the construct. It doesn't matter. Fuck, if you want to start work at 5 a.m., that's great.
But guys, here's the thing. Right? Here's yeah. The extra fun fact that on top is the fact that when they get you that extra hour, apparently the day after that, heart attacks go down by 21%.
So really, we just need an extra hour of sleep every night.
Every day. Every day an extra hour of sleep. And everything's...
Just keep pushing it back.
It's just because everyone's literally like sleeping as little as possible to not die, oh. basically.
That's insane. Because do you
know, so really edging yourself.
Yeah, the whole of society.
Or maybe we don't, you know, have this like weird, like what, like
alarm
like
culture.
9 to 5 kind of daily grind that a lot of people have that... Just seems like
what if you just
nightmare.
Had your tasks, and as long as they're done by the end of the week, you get your money.
Maybe.
Task-based reward as opposed to making you sit in an office for 8 hours, therefore hours. Reducing productivity because the 8-hour working day was for factory workers, and that's why it was mm-hmm. set up. And labor is inherently mm-hmm. different to other kinds of work, even though it's all labor, and it just it mm. behaves differently, and we've decided not to make different rules up for it. Good.
Mm. Mm.
Sounds like some... anti-capitalist screed, and I'm all for it, guys. Yeah. Just to let you know.
But no, yeah, daily saving sucks. I wish we could abolish it. It's bad. It's
put
bad.
It in the bin.
It's like, I remember teaching, and like it was like that. And for some reason in Australia, I don't know why, maybe Victoria at least, it's that weird thing where you have like the 2 weeks like of school holidays, and then the day they go back to school, that's when daylight savings kicks in, so they lose an hour of sleep.
That should why be don't illegal. They just,
why didn't they do it to 2 weeks before during school holidays
where they could have slept in
yeah, and adjust and like re kind of like calibrate, but no, it's the day, and it's just like common knowledge that you're like, oh yeah, 2 weeks, nothing gets fucking done. It's bad. And so yeah, I don't know why we still have it. I really wish we'd abolish it.
It's because governments hate teachers, damn it. All right.
Well, yeah,
we've all decided
as
a
children,
group.
I know they've
the
paid
the children. Future. The future will bring
and
their
and we don't want that.
Screw those guys, yeah. Let's destroy this climate. Teach them a lesson. Yeah. They get nothing.
The fucking ungrateful kids.
We worked hard, okay? We worked hard.
Let's have a little bit of time for one quick email.
Ooh, does it say that we're great?
Maybe. Let's read it and find out.
Okay.
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Also, did you know we do too many shows across the Sandspants Radio Network? Take D&D's for Nerds, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast that I'm mostly on. Never played D&D in your life? Don't worry, up until we started, I hadn't either. Meticulously edited by yours truly, so you don't have to hear all the faff and math that interrupts a good fantasy story. Each campaign is standalone, and while veteran listeners will pick up characters, events, and places across the seasons, new listeners can start at any adventure. Just search for D&D's for Nerds on iTunes or Spotify, or head to our website, sanspantsradio.com. So I'm a 19-year-old queer man from Canberra, and I've recently been trying online dating. Yeah. The last time I had a relationship was over a year ago and ended because I realized I wasn't in a place mentally where I could be in a relationship. We had tried to date a few times before that, and it took the third time to realize the reason it wasn't working was because of trauma from an unhealthy relationship when I was 15/16. The guy was very lovely about me breaking up to work through my trauma, and we remain good friends. So that's great.
Oh, lovely.
It's positive.
Yeah. I've been working through that trauma with a psychologist, great to hear, for a year now, and I'm in a place where I want to pursue a relationship again. I've been using Tinder for about 6 months now, but I've only met up with one person. My sister got Tinder around the same time, she's 22, and she has met up with more people than I could count. Fuck yeah, queen.
Oh, yeah.
I struggle a lot with texting and find it so much easier to connect with someone in person. But I'm afraid to meet someone I don't know at all. I'd rather text them and get to know them before meeting up. But none of my conversations on Tinder seem to go anywhere, even if we seem very compatible based on our profiles. The one person I did meet up with was after chatting for 2 weeks on and off. Our conversations felt very natural, but I think that was mostly due to how open he was as a person and because I rarely had to lead the conversation. I was wondering if you had any advice about online dating, meeting up with people, and first dates, as well as working through trauma from previous relationships. I still have that constant fear that I'll never be able to date someone, and that whenever I try, I'll be too scared to be physically intimate with them. I'm afraid that I'll just freeze if I'm ever in that sort of situation again, despite how much I'd like to be with someone in a healthy relationship.
I really feel like there's two sides to this. One, a very fun online dating one. The other one, a very serious and possibly more in the category of
trauma.
Somebody's gone through something more serious. So I can help with the online dating one. Trauma-based one, I've got, no input to put
That's
there.
That's all right. You love the trauma over to me and we'll fucking dunk it.
Yeah, look, me and Zoe, we got that trauma.
We got trauma.
You guys can have the online dating.
Nothing but net.
All right. We're a person.
Exactly. One whole person. It took four of us.
And I'll form the legs. I guess we'll start with some trauma.
We'll pepper in the fact that there's trauma.
So I guess, look, you're seeing a psychologist for a year now. That sounds great. And I think you're on the right track. And I guess it's just about, again, when it comes to like dating and trauma, it's, I guess you need to pepper in that past trauma. You don't want to throw the trauma luggage at the other person like date one. You
got to pepper in the trauma and then be vocal about it before you get to the intimate stuff so that they're aware about the trauma so that they can react accordingly to the trauma.
Really? Yeah. So that means like, because like, you'd be pretty full on the first date to be peppering in any trauma.
I tell people about my trauma on the first date.
Really?
Really?
Yep. I tell people all the bad stuff about me on the first date so they know.
Yeah. Well, George, I guess think about it, because if you think about it, if you went on a date with someone and they said to you like, oh, hey, just so you know, if we end up going home together, like these are the things I'm not okay with. Like, is that – that would
that's
be fine.
I'm not talking. Yeah, that would be fine. And like, that's why I'm. That's
how
I'm
you
saying
pepper
it's awkward.
It in.
Yeah, that's. The, I'm just thinking like, if they just pepper, at least pepper in like during the conversation, be like, "What would you like to eat?" Oh, nothing. I just have. I'm trauma. Coming off to really horrific traumatic relationship, and you're like, "Whoa, this is this is like, a lot." Look,
I think every first date starts with a like, "Why are you single?"
What?
You need to be like,
no one answers that honestly.
Because people don't see my fucking potential. What do you want?
Fuck, that's a great response.
Thank you. I'm not getting a lot of second dates.
Depends how aggressively. Are you saying it as aggressively as this?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, the real ones will know. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know. For me, if I'm swiping on a dating profile and they're at the horse races, oh my God. I feel calm with how easily I can reject that person, you know? Like, it's like, oh, thank fuck. Bye. Or if they're in a racist costume, you're like, oh my God. Thank you.
Does that happen much?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Or holding fish, unless it's an impressive fish.
No, I also, what? It's, I yeah, fish. Shark. It's fish as well.
I don't understand the fish one at all. Like, when has this ever been a thing that women find? Like, it's like they're just doing it for the other boys. Like, mind. I like fish. And like, yeah.
I don't mind. I used to have a partner that was a fisherman and he would take me fishing and I thought that was quite a lovely experience. But that wasn't like the thing that attracted me to him.
Yeah, but
he wasn't like, okay, I'm a fisherman, and I was like, flood like, my basement.
But let me paint you a picture here. Yeah. So it's a still picture image. They are on a boat.
Ooh.
And it's a quite sunny day. Yeah. They're wearing cargo shorts.
Oh, what else? Yes.
A singlet.
They need and to come they're
that's good. That's
shorts.
Breezy.
They're pretty burnt, and they're holding up a pretty big fish with two hands.
Ooh. Do they have their thumb in the fish's mouth?
Well, yeah. Where else is it going to go?
Yeah, where else? Maybe. No, they look like expert fishermen.
But why is that a form of social, like,
I'm good at adventure.
It's like
dating profiles keep being like, let's just go on hikes together. And I'm like, I don't want to go on hikes. My dating profile literally says, I hate adventure. Please don't ask me to do anything.
But I get Yeah, honest. Then the real ones will know.
Yeah.
Look, like, yes, but to go back to the one real, like, on the first date one, the issue with the first date is that person has known you for that one date. So it's like, if you're bringing up intense stuff, they're like, is this like what this person does all the time?
No, but
like,
I don't think,
is this the conversation topic?
Yeah, have we met? So, come on now, George.
Okay. Well, yes, that's fair enough. Yes.
Again,
that is representing well, but I guess.
Real ones will know. Like, if.
Yeah.
Like, you can't scare someone off like, if you're right for them.
Yeah. And I think people who have trauma like to talk about their trauma.
But it's like, if you're on your first date and it's like, it's straight away, it's all like that. And again, I'm not saying to. That's why I can understand this being a complex question to ask. Because, because like, if you're like, this person's looking at this, it's like 100% of the time we hang out, this person's talking about their trauma. It's like, is that what I've got to look forward to here? Like, it can be, it can miss.
No, you jokingly then say, I'm putting all the bad stuff out first just so you know.
Okay.
I just if you've got a list of shit you got to bring up, you got to bring it up. You don't want to bring that up on the fifth date and they're like, why didn't you mention that?
I feel like artful peppering.
sprinkle the trauma in.
Yeah, yeah. That's different to a list that you've got to work through on the first date.
I just can't get over the idea of someone asking, why are you single? Fuck, that rules. Oh, man, I have not dated, and it just, I guess it shows, you know?
This is reminding me that I have to text someone that I met on a dating app.
All you fuckers here have great little like Tinder stories, and I don't, and I hate it, and I'm just like, man, you guys lived a nightmare.
A dude asked me if he wanted to fix me. Like,
what?
Once went on a date with a dude.
Fuck off.
I went on a date with a dude, and we went on a first date, and it was it was really good, but I was not in the place to date. And I let him know that afterwards. I sent him a text. I was like, hey, man, you seem really, really chill. I'm actually, like, just coming out of this really serious relationship. Can we put a pin in this? Because I would like to revisit this one day.
Ooh, that's a good angle.
And he was, like, really lovely and nice about it. He was like, hell yeah. And anyway, like, a month or two later, I was having a party, and I was like, dude, come to this party. And I was like, so here's the deal, because I was throwing the party. And I was like, I'm going to get plastered. If you are here at the end of the night, you've got a sure thing. But you just need to leave me alone for the entirety of the party, because I want to enjoy my party.
Ooh, that's a tough one, eh? So can I just come at the end then?
he was there to sell. He had people he knew. I wasn't the only person at the party that he knew. I was like, go hang out, enjoy your friends, let us all enjoy
like
the party.
Just like one guy in the corner. Rock hard.
No one
like,
talk to him.
I've got to wait a few hours, and I know what I'm doing.
I'm not a horrible person. I was like, enjoy the party. Let's drink this bottle of Patron, but let me flitter around and do my thing. I don't want to be making out with you in the corner the whole night.
That's fair.
And then kind of halfway through the night, he started getting handsy, and I was like, dude, I ain't done. But once again, if you're here in 3 hours, a sure thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You laid it out. You had the rules.
Once again, the rules. But he was like getting all touchy-feely, and then I was like, hey, man, whatever you're feeling, I ain't feeling. I feel like we just call it a night, and you leave my house. And he kind of was like, no, I just like really want to chat to you and just like really get to know you more. And I was like, I don't want to do that like in this situation. Like, I don't want to do that right now because I'm very drunk on Patron and I just like want to enjoy my party.
Yeah.
And then he made me sit down with him and hold hands and make direct eye contact, which he kept asking me to make with him. He was like, just make direct eye contact. I was like, I really don't want to.
Oh my God.
I really don't want to make eye contact with you because I'm very uncomfortable. And then he just was like, I feel like you're coming from like this really heavy place and I see that you need to be fixed and I want to be that person who fixes you. And I said, leave my house.
Yes, get out of his house.
He cooked it.
Get out of his house.
It was a sure thing.
He cooked it hard. That's a burnt macaroni. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia Figaro, man.
Jesus. Wow.
Cooked a sure thing.
Way to muff that, huh?
Didn't even muff that.
Didn't even.
There was no muff.
No muff for that boy. Jeez.
Fool. Fool.
Dating's fun. Yeah, dating's fun because you get terrible stories, which you can exchange with your other single friends.
It is. It is good for the story. Like that's the thing. You'll come out of it with a tale, and it'll either be a nice one, or a funny one. Hopefully, it's not a bad one. But
My favorite one from you, Cass, is like not you yourself, but our good friend. She got poked in the eye by a suitor, and she was just like, nope. No, you cooked it.
Oh, you
go away now. Oh, you go away.
This woman,
you can be so judgmental on a first date, which is so lovely. You can just be like, no. Yep. This is annoying. Your pants are wrong. I don't know you and I can be highly critical.
I'm always feeling so much guilt on a first date to be like, I don't know. I think I could be misleading to people because I'm sitting there and I'm just so polite. I'm like, I don't want this person to know any of the thoughts
George,
I'm having.
No, George, you have to be rude.
So I just sit there and I'll be there for like 3-4
George,
hours
just
with
like
them,
pepper
having
in
multiple
some, like,
drinks, having no, a lovely time, and I'm just like, I cannot wait to leave
here. Pepper in some red flags. Pepper in some red flags. Say the phrase feminazi. I once left a date because a man said that.
Feminazi, really?
Just a bit of feminazism, and I was like, well, goodbye. It was very nice to see you. Goodbye. You know, like just pepper
on
in.
On the first date, you say?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He
was like, oh, no. And I was like, you cooked
it. He's putting
it
all up front as well. So
which
really
is fine. Well, like, and so we could it's know. Good. Yeah, yeah. We could know. Because I'd been up front. I was like, hey, this is my trauma. Or, by the way, are we planning on dating seriously or just getting to know one another? And he was like, oh, so maybe serious. And I was like, cool, I can't have kids. Deal with that. Wish you what you want to do with that.
You are a lot on a first date.
Yeah, it's shocking that I don't get more second dates.
No,
it's
look, just, I appreciate that. I think that's a good heads up.
I think that's a good heads up.
You just met the person, so you got to like let them know.
I haven't just met the person. Either we've met on a dating app and we've been chatting for at least 3 weeks is my minimum before like go and actually meet up with someone in person. Or we've met at a party and we've spoken before, so they already know that it's a disaster. Or two, I've been set up with some friends, and then once again, rule two applies.
Yeah, but I feel like you could do. I'm not saying to hide it for a year, but like it's in the first few days.
No, because
you can just
I don't
ease
want
in
someone
and be like,
to.
Hey,
I
don't define
someone
me by these things because that's not me. Like these are just things that are rules of mine. But if I'm doing this the first
but
day,
but George,
it's like,
I think you forget that I come from trauma.
Yeah,
I come from trauma because I've had partners at the time when I found out I couldn't have children. The person I was dating at the time broke up with me because they were like, well, I can't, I don't want that. So now, wall up.
No, that's something that I
and we are guarded.
Yeah,
and we tell all that stuff on the first date so they know.
Yeah, no, that look. That's
just like there's a middle ground here.
I don't
that's
think
all.
So.
I feel like there's a middle ground.
I mean, I'm seeing kind of like with both because I look again. If I was in the dating scene, it would be like it would be very appreciative to be like for someone to be like, I just cannot have kids, or I don't want kids, or
because
these
I'm
are those
not
kind of
looking
like those
for
big
a casual dating partner. I'm looking for a spouse.
Mm. Mm.
But like you, a lot of the time, you know, people might be like, oh, kind of. Sort of. Like,
no, like I have no time
a lot of
for
pressure
that.
On the
I have
first
no, I have
thing.
No time for that.
Speed running dating. I love it.
I've gone speed dating and I hated every minute of it. But no,
it
I
like you would love that.
No, I didn't do very well at it at all.
Because at that time, all they got was the list.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we've only got 3 seconds. All right, let's do this.
George, I think you are just having a you. Are, George, you want something really different from your dating experience to Zoe. Like you just do. Like if you are. If you know what you want.
George, if I looked like you, I would date casually as well.
But I just feel like all I'm saying is for the sake of the other person, I'm just saying is in like to not be. It's
but
about,
I don't come but, down from this. Like I don't start at 11 and then turn out to be a 7. Like I'm a 15 all the time.
Yeah. And it, okay. And I mean, that's, you want someone who likes you for you. And if you know what you want, why not tell the person instead of going on several dates and being like, oh, I don't know. And then like.
Yeah, especially when you don't want that. Yeah, especially exactly. Like, I don't want to date someone who.
I'm all for, I'm just saying is in like literally just the first date is a lot. Like, as in if you like the person, you vibe, and then you get to the second one, you're like, okay, this actually looks like I'm interested. Like, so let's have this discussion now. But it just seems like a lot to put on someone. Because
why would you waste
get
your time
a chance to know
date?
You?
If you can weed them out at a first date.
Because I'm wasting
date.
My time. Yeah, but Cass is right. Weed out the weakling.
it's like seeing someone with a big fish and it's like, cool, you like killing for sport. I'm not into that. Sick.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking cool. Swipe left. Like, you like
I
betting
can't put
on
it
horse
on my
death.
Tinder profile.
Not for me. I'm not going with you. Okay. Swipe left.
I feel like I'd be so frightened of both of you.
That's the thing. It's our it's
you're
a wonderful celebration.
Me, you're yelling at me.
Bailey.
Yes, I am scared. I just
think it's a balancing act. And
I mean, yeah, this is all like our wonderful emailer. I think it's
oh yeah.
Right.
So you can have the Zoe approach, which is the full on the
full
first
hog.
But also
to put, on that though, Zoe is right in saying that she's always a 15.
Yeah.
So I guess for other people who might not be a 15 all the time, it is a misrepresentation for them to be dropping it all on the first date in that sense. So that's again just saying
that's the thing. And it depends on how comfortable
you are.
Yeah, it depends how comfortable you are with trauma. Like I have trauma and I have not divulge that until quite late in a relationship. Mm. Because again, it's just like not everyone is so upfront about their trauma. Not everyone is dealing with it at the same time. And there are still things that I have probably not told my fiance because I'm just like, that's my own personal trauma that I don't want to divulge yet. Like I've told that, yeah, there is stuff there, but I'm not going to like give all the details. Mm.
And I guess that's like,
that's my little secret for me to think about in the shower while I cry.
Yeah, that's for me. That's for me. That's my bad times. But it's just kind of thing, you know, you like it, you know, that's the thing. It's like when we were sort of getting to know each other, we were getting to know each other. Mm. And so this is where, and but again, we were knowing each other over like, you know, text and those kind of things.
Which is one of the questions. Which is one of the questions our emailer asked us.
Yes. So, so in terms of trauma and getting you through trauma, I think it's like, it's I don't know, I find that easier through text and phone, like, well, mostly through text, to be perfectly honest. And then we upgraded to, you know, conversation after months of texting sort of thing.
Oh, so you'd actually, like, mention these issues in text before
probably not, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, no, probably actually, yeah, to be honest, I think I did. I was pretty fairly open by it. It was great.
I mean, just because, like, this person is getting an image of you, and if they get, you can give them the wrong image by doing too much at the start. I'm not saying not to do it at all, but I'm just saying as in like people, they only know you for that one date or whatever. So it's like they haven't got a chance to get to know you as a person before maybe feeling like they need to define you by this stuff that you're bringing up.
Yeah, I
straight
guess
away,
it's,
you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying it's a fixed answer, but just, yeah.
I guess it feels, it depends like how I guess it's, you're sort of coming from two different ideas of what a first date is. Mm. Like, I think George is sort of coming from like, we've literally just met, here we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
I think
Tinder.
With you, Zoe, it seems to be more like, well, I don't really, you tend to not do that more. You tend to kind of like have that relationship over like text or whatever for a few weeks before you meet them. So you already have that kind of icebreaker kind of stuff before you have this, what is it officially, the first date kind of thing. So, yeah, but
even there, like the first date's still like them matching up what you've talked about with who you are. So it's still kind of in that territory, even if like, but again, I'm talking about from messaging Tinder and Hinge and stuff.
I'm like, man, privilege.
Whereas what this person has said, they struggle a lot with texting and find it much easier to connect with someone in person.
Mm.
And like, I know, say for you, example, Zoe, you hate text messages.
I hate it, and apparently I come off very aggressive when I do it.
Yeah, okay. yeah, that checks.
Yeah, that checks. Check how fucking perfect my punctuation and grammar is.
Yeah.
It comes off as real rude.
Love receiving a text from Zoe that ends in a full stop and being like, I know her. It's fine. I know how she would say this, but it is very funny to read because I know how much love she has. And then just being like, that looks mean.
checking my chat
to see how much I do full stops.
I'm very aggressive with my full stops. I've been told off quite a few times.
But yeah, I don't know, because again, like I find texting easier. I find texting like a better form of communication for myself. So it's a weird thing, and I've always been like, I don't like phone. I don't like talking on phone. Go away. Which is weird considering the profession is me talking to a mic.
Yeah, but the mic's not talking back.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Shout into voice.
Yeah, it's just sort of weird because I don't know. Are you all sort of like texters or conversational? Person to person, face to face?
I'm terrible. Phone? I'm texting. What? I'm garbage. I hate it, but I do it because I have to. So I'm like, I allocate time, set to, like, I'm terrible. I'm the worst at all of that stuff just because, like, it's just not me to look at that. I don't know. My brain just doesn't work like that. But I allocate time during the day where I have to, like, do it. Like, it's just grit your teeth and get through it.
That's probably
one of my massive dating flaws is that in any relationship, I'm never going to be that
would
engaged.
Would a question for the single ladies, would a text from George saying, hey, I'm not really great at text. Do you want to do a phone conversation? How would that go?
Is it the first text?
Well, look, okay.
If it's going full 15, maybe I've got time for it.
If I'm not like Zoe in that if I am on a dating app and I just want to, like, you know, you chat to them a bit to be like, okay, you're not a robot or whatever, but like then you meet in a public space. But I once spoke to someone online for a very long time and then finally video chatted them and they were completely different to who I thought they were. And it was, I hated it. It was very scary. It made me feel very, very sick.
Then you like, say, catfish, photo? And hang up the phone.
No, I wasn't catfish or anything. I just had never, like, developed a relationship via text with someone before. Not that we were in a relationship or anything. It was a friend. Mm. Yep. Made a friend via just messaging back and forth, and then finally video chatted them and realized that the person I created in my mind, because it was months, wasn't who I thought they were. And they weren't a bad person. There was nothing wrong with them. But I was young and it scared me. I was just like, oh my goodness, the person I thought like was my friend exists, but they are a different person. And it felt like suddenly a stranger knew all this stuff that I'd told them, which is like, you know, they were still the same person. It didn't change them. It just really freaked me out personally. So that probably affected me. Anyway,
lose so much nuance.
Look, I much prefer to just like meet up with someone straight away, but like in a public space, doing it safely, of course.
Mm. I'm the opposite. I'd rather have someone over at my house than go to a public space.
That's crazy.
Zoe, you'll die.
You're very unique.
Yeah, dude.
Like that's
No, I have a lot of roommates and I have a big gate. So either I'm never gonna be alone with this person. I have a German shepherd that's guarding the property. I feel very safe in my house and I have an anxiety disorder that makes me not want to go to pubs.
Okay.
So
I
feel more comfortable in my own house.
We have park walk.
I have a Crohn's disease and I can't afford that many pairs of pants for a park walk. So
that's fair.
That is fair.
So I feel more comfortable in my own house.
But to answer that question for George, if someone messaged him and was like, hey, I don't like texting, can we call? I would prefer, I would be like, oh, can we video chat or something? Because I'd give them the benefit of the doubt, be like, okay, like, yeah, let's give it a crack.
You're so suspicious.
Yeah.
Well, getting an answer in this tone of voice.
You've already answered it, Cass, and what you're saying and what you mean are two different things.
You are digging up.
It's become a sort of almost trope where people are like, I hate small talk, and like, yeah, it sucks if you're just like,
oh my god, let's just talk about the real things. Let's just talk about like,
anyway, it's become a trope, even though genuinely people don't like small talk. It's fine, but saying it makes it weird.
Yes,
but no one really likes it. If you're just making small talk to be polite with someone, then you're not actually really getting to know them anyway. Mm-hmm. So like, if someone was like, do you want to just call? Because I have done that, like. I have gone on, chatted to people, and it's like, let's just do a video call. I prefer it.
This emailer has, he's like, they're bad at conversation, but they're better like sort of like face to face. So, and I guess they want to be, you know, make sure things are safe when they could meet up with somebody, et cetera.
Well, that's a fun thing. So they've specified that they're a queer person. And that's one of the really cool things about the queer community is that a lot of safe space are created. And maybe not necessarily going to queer pubs and clubs and stuff, but you can join a queer book reading group or bowling or whatever. Like there are a lot of queer hobby-based groups.
Yeah.
And so if you want to meet other queer people who like the same stuff that you like Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, I'm assuming fan of this.
Safe. I love the look you just gave me.
Gross.
Just like a gross side eye.
So offended. Yeah. But like you can find like there's so many queer groups around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just to skip the dating app.
Yeah. If you feel more comfortable meeting people in person, then go out and find things that you have, like find a place where you will have people you have in common.
I think they said that they prefer texting before they meet in person. But I was going to suggest the same thing because if you're not in an environment where it is a date – and you can just get to know someone because I was literally talking about dating with dating apps today with a friend. And we were just saying that there's so much pressure when you meet someone through a dating app because you get to the date and then you're like, oh, I have to make a decision if I want to keep seeing this person in a romantic context or not. Whereas if you meet someone any other way, that doesn't really happen. Like you get to know someone and then you decide if you like them or not, or sometimes you get to know someone and realize you like them and you had no idea when you first met them. And sometimes you like someone immediately and then you try and see if they like you back and then you can maybe ask them out. look, if dating is daunting
for you, that
sounds
harder.
Like, try.
You know, that sounds terrifying.
Life
but
sounds
that's,
hard.
But that's dating. Like, it, you, yeah. But like dating, you're on a date and it's pressure. Like, it is more pressure than usual.
Yeah.
So joint.
I think dating is very hard if you don't look like George.
Excuse me.
I think dating is quite difficult if you're regular looking, like, and regular on the side of beautiful like Cass, or just like an uggo like myself. Like, it's hard.
I am so not an insulted. Ugger.
Yeah, it must be really hurtful for me to call you real hot.
I'm not real hot. Thank you,
you
very much.
You are so
beautiful,
hot.
Bitch. Oh, shut up.
Stop it, guys. Well, look, now I can't say anything, right? That's there's a slight difference in how things go in certain instances, but still
I think
the same
when
headache.
It's a dating app, when you're basing whether you want to date someone on their hotness, I think George is going to do better.
I mean, you know.
I think dollars for donuts, if me and George go head to head in a Tinder off, George is getting more head to head.
I have actually just ramped back up on the dating apps because in the last 2 weeks, I was like, okay, lockdown's finishing, got my own place, so let's start this bad boy up again.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about your dick?
Crank it
how
up.
Did you know what I?
It's know, a that's hand what I cranker.
Blow off the dust. But no, so, let's oil it up.
Let's go.
Get the cobwebs out.
Yeah. No, it's so I'm literally
from the peel back screen. The foreskin, get the cobwebs out. I hate we both went there. That's gross. Guys, I hate that.
Oh,
yep.
It's Halloween.
Spooky. Spooky dick.
Okay, so what's going on with
I've
your spooky dick?
I've got to show my spooky dick. Yeah. And, I've just literally started this. Last week I went on the first of two dates and I've just, you get a run going with these dating apps though. If you just start and you've got to sit there, my big thing, chuck on an Attenborough documentary of some kind where you can like kind of watch it and be on your phone at the same time so there's no stress, just to grind through all of the lefts and rights you got to do and then do the chats there. So I find like a
pick
not-
your hotties, pick your algos.
Not too-
It's weird that there's no maybe well, look, pile technically- on dating apps. Because sometimes
yeah,
you
I
don't
want
know.
To be
sometimes
a maybe
I
want
to- mull it over, but I still want to say yes and no to others. There's no maybe.
Because then you've just got to leave them on your screen for a while, and after a while you're like, well, fuck it, no, because
you just close the app and
forward.
Keep like reopening it to be like, let's just wait till someone else pops up and they pop up again. You're like, ah, I still can't pick. And then you close the app.
Look, here's your multi-million dollar app but idea just, right now.
Just pick a yes and then say no later like
gonna,
most girls.
I'm going to create a dating right. app called the Maybe Pile where you can put people in a maybe pile. I guarantee no one's going to – everyone will download the app and no one will reopen the maybe pile.
Well, because it's
yeah, but
just,
you make money and be good.
I will
well,
make
the maybe
money.
Pile is what
– No, but the maybe
Tinder
pile –
is the maybe pile.
Maybe the maybe pile is like they get a notification that you've maybed them. And then if they yes you, you can then yes or no them.
And you can be like, oh, so there God. Is.
That is so ridiculous.
Nothing says so great ridiculous. Relationship by already starting off with a power dynamic. Holy shit.
Yeah, Bumble's real fucking annoying.
Because there's that, there are those features on, some of the apps have them. I
Hinge
know
is where it's at by now.
Hinge is where it's at. We're all
Hinge.
Using Hinge.
Yeah, Hinge peaks.
Yeah. Well, okay. When I first got Bumble, they had a thing where they're like, oh, we've like giving you a free trial of our paid service. I'm like, I'm not paying to get rejected. But the paid service is like, you can see who's already liked you, but you can, so it's just like, hey, here are the people who like you already. You're like, oh, thank you. No.
Yeah.
Well, something went to your head real quick.
No. I was like, oh, thank you so much. You're the people who really like me. And then you're like, oh my God, they liked me? Okay. I didn't think we would have had anything in common, but okay. Oh, they didn't respond?
That's really nice.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nothing like being left on.
Oh, and then that's
all dating
apps,
man.
Thing as well. Like when I first got Hinge, I was very overwhelmed at the time because I got it and then panicked and then a bunch of people matched with me. And I think this is part of, this isn't a flex. I think this is just the way that Hinge is set up, because when you start off with Hinge, it allows you to see all of your matches at once and it gives you a sample of the paid service, which I didn't know. So then it gets like all these people match with you. So I assume it just shows your profile to everyone. And then all of a sudden your thing fills up with people who've liked you. And then the next day you can only see one of them at a time. So you have to.
And you've got to make a decision till you can see the next
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you have to say yes or no until you get, like, to see everyone. Oh. Which is.
Right.
Which is, for me.
Cass doesn't like saying no.
I don't want to be mean. Well, that's the thing. On Hinge, they've made a move and they've reached out to contact you to say, hi, I like this thing about you. And you just click on the no button.
Yeah. Cass.
You've made me feel so much worse about the amount of non-responses I get, and I've never thought about it until now.
Cass, I'm going to be honest with you. After lockdown lifted, I'd been chatting to, like, all these people on Hinge, and then the reality of, like, having to physically leave my house happened, and they were, like, all these people being like, when do you want to meet up? Like, we've been talking about meeting up. And then I just deleted the app. Because I got overwhelmed and panicked, and I just deleted the app instead.
Oh, that's a big one when you're a guy and you're like chatting this girl and she just disappears. You're like, what?
I've done
why?
That.
Why?
I was accidentally, I matched with two people on Hinge. One of them deleted me the day I started messaging them, and which is a funny story for another time. But then the other person I matched with them because they said they liked horror movies. And I was like, oh, what horror movies do you like? They're like, oh, I actually don't really like them. And then.
Great. Well done. Good. He muffed it.
And I just sort of looked and was like, I don't know what to do. And then I never used the app again.
Yeah, then you delete the app.
How?
Because I was so nervous. I was so nervous to use every. I was so nervous, and I'd already been panicking, and then I had all these match build ups. And yeah. I'm like, let's see. I'm like, horror movies? And they were like, no. I'm like, but you.
Well, you're a fucking liar.
Yes, and. Come on.
They said on the profile, they were like, let's watch a horror movie together. And I was like, tell me, let's talk about that. And they were like, nah.
Nah.
Like,
did I say horror movie? No. I meant not horror movie.
Did you guys see the... Fuck. I'm going to find it. So I said, like, he's like, all right, well, let's... Obviously, we're having more of a conversation. He was like, well, let's lock it in from 6 weeks from now because we locked in. We only thought it was going to be six weeks. And I was like, good, something to look forward to. And he said, totally fine. We'll get in a few kisses. And I said, deal. And then he said, may steal a cheeky boob grab. And I blocked him.
I remember this one.
I was like, remember, muffed it.
Yeah, you muffed it. Guys,
I was already agreeing to kiss him. A boob grab was inherently the next step.
It was an implied boob grab.
You just didn't have to mention it.
You just didn't. We're
all adults in our 30s.
Come on,
a boob grab was going to be part of kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe, you are not in your 30s. Stop saying that.
Just trying to claim it.
No, you're pulling a Zammit. Zammit did this before he was 32.
27, I just feel old.
You both do that. I'm like, you just both want to rest. And you're allowed to do that now. You can claim rest for yourself now. But you both did it. You're like, I'm in my 30s. I can't come to this party. I'm like, no, you're not. You're allowed to not come to the party.
But I am now, though.
You are now, yeah.
So,
yeah, you can claim it now.
Joke's on you.
Yeah. If you just wait long enough, it becomes true.
That's true. So I guess to help this email out, I guess in summary, we don't know shit about fuck.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Actually, I'm going to jump in and also say as a dating tip, be as honest as you're comfortable being, like not being like go in and be like, here is everything that's happened to me. I would say like,
don't go a full Zoe.
If you don't want it, but if you do want it,
that's the difference. Like, I know there are things about like me that for me will, you know, affect my day to day, but I don't have to tell people I'm dating because it's not going to be relevant for them, and I don't feel like that's not their business. Like at that point, you know,
exactly.
But you know, if I had something where it's like, hey, if this progresses, these are the things I'm not comfortable with, 100%. You know, let them know. And if someone said that to me, I'd be completely fine with it. They're like, hey, if we progress any further, I'm not comfortable with this. It's like, cool. Thank you for telling me. Like, and that's also a good way to weed people out. Because if you bring up something like that and they act weird about it, run. Run very fast.
That's a red flag.
And I guess that's part of like prepping, like as in. Cause you,
listening to your asshole.
Like how you say it as well. You know, you can practice maybe just how to bring this up in a way which isn't too extreme.
Proud of yourself?
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been George.
I've been Zoe B.
I've been Cass.
We're still fun.
Loose assholes.
Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us for some very unprofessional advice that goes beyond just go to therapy, feel free to email us on happylittlepod@gmail.com and make sure you put somewhere in the email okay to air if you're happy to have us discuss it on the show. Hope you have a great day. You're not alone. We love you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.